What if I can't hold out on this thing, Lord? See, I don't wanna disappoint you, my Lord, again, so deliver me from these thoughts in my head, Lord.
Deliver me from the valley,
deliver me from the valley,
Lord.
Everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Bear It All. Here at Bear It All, our mission is to empower you to live a life of purpose and step into your power. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so through our various social medias. Our Twitter is at RS Bear It All. Facebook is facebook.com/3BearItAll. And our email address is BearItAll3@hotmail.com. I am your host, Dr. Raquel Stewart, and to all of our listeners, our continued, thank you so much for your continued support. We truly do appreciate it. And if you are new to Bear It All, I want you to sit back, relax, and get ready to bear it all. Now, tonight we've got a familiar and a friend to the show, Dr. Leslie Brown. But before we bring on, Dr. Brown, I kind of want to have a conversation about valuing people in our lives and appreciating them. And I was having this conversation with a good friend this week, and I think it's important to say, especially with the topic that we're going to be covering tonight, your season of begging is over. You know, and what I'm finding is there are so many people who have someone in their life who gives sound advice, who give godly advice, and we just don't pay them any attention. We don't take their advice under consideration, and we don't value and appreciate this person and the information that they have to share with us. So what that meant to me was that, you know, we're taking this person for granted. Here's the thing. We take them for granted until they're no longer around. And not that they're dead. They've just moved on to the next phase of their life because the phase where they were sharing that time and space with you is over. Let me tell you this, and I'm not going to lecture you. I definitely want to bring on Dr. Brown. I do want to say this. When you have someone like that in your life, value and appreciate them and let them know that they're appreciated. We do this by our actions. Okay, we do this by saying to them, hey, I value and I appreciate you. Thank you so very much for sharing a part of you with me. Don't wait until that person is no longer in your life and that person has moved on to the next phase of their own life. Then to say, hey, I value and appreciate you. No, appreciate the person while they're there. Okay, that is my whole spiel for tonight and my part. And I, as I said, I was discussing this with a dear friend that I value her opinion and I appreciate her. So we need to start practicing that and making that a part of our personality and telling people we appreciate them. You know, if you have to give someone a compliment, give them a compliment. Don't do it in your own head. Say it out loud. You never know how that will impact that person. We need to stop being selfish and start sharing ourselves with other people. Okay? So that conversation so impacted me that I needed to share that and I need to bear that with you. So let me just introduce our guest, Dr. Leslie Brown, for those of you who are new to Bear It All. Dr. Brown was a 16-year-old teen mom, divorced, single mom, turned faith heart coach. She's a motivational speaker, educator, mentor, pastor, prophetess, and mompreneur who teaches women and young girls how to live on purpose and turn their shameful mess into a powerful brand message that's unapologetic and inspirational. Dr. Brown helps women release their fear, reactivate their faith, and resuscitate their heart. Faith Heart Coach is founded upon Psalms 37 and 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Every Saturday, Dr. Brown teaches practical spiritual principles on her weekly live teleconference call. Now, let me correct that. That is not every Saturday that she does it. It's every first and third Saturday of the month. Okay? Notice it went from every Saturday. And folks, if y'all are people that are on Dr. Brown's biweekly calls, catch what I'm saying, okay? Don't miss it. Don't let it go over your head. Notice it went from every Saturday to every first and third. That's all I'm saying. So it's every first and third Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This pastor, prophetess, and unshakable faith believer has worked in various job capacities, such as a former online and on-site college professor, nonprofit executive director spanning three counties, a secondary public school educator, project manager for a major education Fortune 500 company, and program curriculum coordinator for a premier university. Each position has shaped Dr. Brown into the female leader, mentor, motivational speaker, and faith heart coach she is today. Her speaking platform captivates multiple audiences, bringing nonprofit, faith-based, education, and the military. Her first self-help Christian-based book, The Thorns Within, published by Arthur House under the name L.E. Brown, can be found on Barnes & Noble's and Amazon and multiple other sites. Leslie's philosophy is, if you transform your mind, you'll transform your world. Join the spiritual movement and interact with Dr. Brown on multiple social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Ladies and gentlemen, not just a friend to the show, but a friend to me, I want to welcome Dr. Leslie Brown. Hi, Dr. Brown. Welcome to Bear It All again. Welcome home.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me back. Thank you once again.
I just need to share that the person that I had the conversation with that I was telling you about earlier, she's on the phone. It's Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown and I had this conversation earlier. And I need to share that with you because there's somebody out there that needs to hear what I just said. Okay? Now, I'm going to take myself out of the mix. I'm going to get on y'all because y'all ain't, folks just ain't listening about how to appreciate people. Y'all better catch what I'm saying. I'm done, Dr. Brown. I'm going to turn this show over to you so that you can definitely fill our hearts and our minds and our spirits, and let's get this word in on your season of begging is over. Take it away.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Raquel Stewart, for having me and for allowing me to grace your platform again. And for all and for everyone who's joining this live call tonight, we are coming from Acts 3, verses 1 through 11. That's Acts 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And I am reading from the Messenger Bible, okay? And so I'm going to just hop right on in. And I'm starting at verse 1, and it says, "One day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way into the temple for prayer meeting. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter, with John at his side, looked him straight in the eye and said, 'Look here.' He looked up, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, 'I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. The man went into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, Beautiful, and rubbed their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. The man threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. All the people ran up to where they were at Solomon's porch to see it for themselves." So I just want us to just close our eyes briefly, and let's just go into a brief prayer. Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I give you the honor and the praise, God, for allowing me to grace this platform just one more time. I thank you, God, for allowing these women and men to saturate this line today, Father God, and not counting it as robbery, God. Bless each and every one of them, God. Decrease Leslie and increase the Holy Ghost within me, God, so that I will be able to pour out this word as you have directed me to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody collectively say amen. So let's focus on this message that's found in Acts 3, verses 1 through 11. Okay? 1 through 11, and I'm coming from the Message Bible. And the scripture is talking about Peter healing a lame beggar around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And once again, I believe in the past, during one of these live calls, I discussed with you guys about the number 3. And the number 3 biblically represents completion, perfection, or unity. I'm going to repeat that. The number 3 biblically represents completion, meaning that God is about to complete a thing. Not only did he complete a thing in the beggar's life, but he's also about to complete a thing in your life. The number 3 also represents perfection. God is about to perfect something in your life, just as he done in the beggar's life. And also, God is about to unify something. He's about to bring unity to something in your life. So I'm going to repeat. The number 3 biblically represents completion, perfection, and unity. So in this case, God is about to complete something in this season of your life, just as he's done for the beggar's life. Not only did God complete a thing in the beggar's life, but he's getting ready. I need everybody on the line to listen. But he's getting ready to bring a season to a close in your life. He's getting ready to bring a chapter to a close in your life. He's getting ready to complete something in your life. And what God is about to complete is the subject of my message this evening, which is your season of begging is over. Some of you have been begging God for some things, and God has been ministering this word to my heart for the last several days, and he told me to come on the line this evening and minister to somebody who's listening, somebody who's willing to activate their faith and let you know that your season of begging is over. I need for somebody to understand that begging has, that this beggar has no name, but he is described as a man who was crippled from birth. I want to stop right here for just a brief moment and expound upon the facts that many of you listening on the line tonight may suffer from a crippling spirit. Your disability may not be a physical deformity like the beggar, but it's a spiritual deformity that's been causing you to fight in the spiritual and in the physical realm. I'm going to repeat that because I need for somebody to catch that. This beggar had a physical deformity, okay? But God told me to let somebody know on the line tonight that you've been fighting a spiritual or a physical disformity. And this thing is happening in the spiritual or the physical realm. And this deformity is placing limitations on your life. Okay? This deformity, this injury, this affliction, this infirmity has been placing some type of limitations on your life. Therefore, God sent me to tell somebody. He sent me to reveal to you that just like the beggar, there are too many people in the body of Christ who are suffering from crippling infirmities or affliction. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to this evening, but there's somebody, once again, who's suffering from a crippling infirmity or a crippling affliction and a cripple, according to the dictionary, is defined as a person who is disabled or impaired in any way. I'm going to repeat that. A cripple, according to the dictionary, is defined as a person who is disabled or impaired in any way. Some of you right now have an impairment. Some of you right now are disabled in some area of your life because you have allowed that crippling thing to cripple you. You have allowed that crippling thing to cause limitations in your life. You have allowed that injury to place you, to make you immobile, so you can only go but so far. Some biblical texts use the word lame instead of cripple. And lame, okay, I want you to follow me here. Lame is defined as crippled or physically disabled, especially in the foot or leg, so as to limp or walk with difficulty. Some of you right now in the spiritual realm, you are limping instead of speed walking or walking at a steady pace. You are unable to walk efficiently because you have something that's crippling you. Or lame can also mean to be impaired or be disabled through a defect or injury. I'm going to repeat that. Lame can also mean to be impaired or disabled through defect or injury. I don't know who I'm ministering to this evening, but some of you have been standing at the beautiful gate just like the crippled man, because you've been physically and spiritually bound for years. Your injury has crippled you from living a full, productive life. Some of you haven't lived fully in years. Some of you haven't lived your life. Some of you are just merely existing day to day, and you're trying to figure out, God, how can I get up from this lame place, get up from this crippled place in the spirit realm and in the physical realm and walk? has to terminate, to restrain, or confine. My message isn't talking to you this evening about begging for money like the crippled man. Instead, God placed into my heart, he said, Leslie, your message is talking about people, individuals who are begging for a co-signer to validate their hurt, validate their suffering, validate their impairment, validate their distress, validate their slander, validate their misery, validate their wrong, validate their trauma, validate their scar, validate their grief or grievance, validate their outrage or validate their wound. God's wound. God says, listen, some of you are walking around with these injuries and you refuse to let these injuries go. And because you have refused to let these injuries go, these injuries have crippled you in the physical and in the physical realm. This message is going to help somebody this evening. So I need for somebody to listen and to activate your faith tonight, because see, God is getting ready to shift you to a whole nother level. He's getting ready to shift you to a whole nother realm. If you understand what he's trying to convey to you this evening, he says that just like this crippled man, you will no longer be brought to this beautiful gate every single day and sit there begging, sit there asking people, holding out a tin can or a bowl, whatever this man was holding out, begging people to co-sign on your injury, begging people to co-sign and validate your victimization. He says that season of begging is over. So tonight, get ready to be transformed. Tonight, get ready to be set free. Tonight, get ready to be liberated. According to the New Living Translation Life Application Study Bible, the beautiful gate was an entrance to the temple, not to the city. And it's one of the favored entrances. And many people pass through this gate, this entranceway, on their way to worship. So giving money to beggars, as I was studying, was considered praiseworthy in the Jewish religion. So the beggar wisely placed himself where he could be seen by the most people who were on their way to worship at the temple. I'm going to repeat that last phrase, that the beggar wisely, that means he understood where he needed to be. The beggar wisely placed himself where he would be seen by the most people who were on their way to worship at the temple. So as I was studying to prepare for this message this evening, God spoke to my heart that the beggar understood the power of positioning himself to receive provision. Now, see, some of you might say, well, I need some provision, but not this type of provision, meaning silver or gold. See, he was begging for provision, meaning silver or gold. That was their currency at this time. Follow me here. But did the beggar fully understand the power of seeking a long-term provision, seeking a long-term solution for what he saw as a small problem? See, some of y'all are seeking a small-term solution by begging people to co-sign on your injury. When God says, listen, I want to give you the ultimate solution that will fix your injury for good. God wants to know how many of you are positioning yourself in the view of certain people who are only enabling or pacifying your injury or crippling affliction with a short-term solution. How many of you are connecting yourself to people who sit there and feed you, saying, girl, yeah, you right. Oh, yes, uh-huh, I understand, man, I understand. Yeah, you right. Coaxing you to remain in your crippling position. God says in this season, enough is enough. You will no longer beg for people to co-sign on your victimization. You will no longer beg people to co-sign on your injury. So in Acts 3, through Peter, God comes to demonstrate his holy power through healing and restoration. Through healing and restoration. God, it sent me tonight to tell somebody, listen, I'm ready to heal you. I am ready to resolve your issue. I am ready to bring you restoration. Listen, for the last week or two, God has been having me on this thing to minister to the hearts of the broken people. And he's saying that this is the season where you shall no longer beg. This is the season where you will no longer beg. I need for somebody to burst that in their womb, that this is the season where you will no longer beg. This is the season where he is sending forth healing. This is the season. season where he is sending forth restoration. He says that there are too many people in the body of Christ who are begging like the beggar, who are begging like the lame man that's seated at the beautiful gate, who are asking people for stuff, who are enabling, who are pacifying, who are supporting their behavior. God says, no more. This is the season where you're going to get up and walk. So in this season, this is the season where you will let go of those crippling spirits and get up and walk. And I need to repeat that again. This is the season, God says, where you will let go of those crippling spirits and get up and walk. You will no longer beg people to enable your crippling injuries. You will no longer beg people to support your foolishness. You will no longer beg people to come over to your house and engage in negative conversations, pacifying and feeding and enabling those crippling spirits. God says that season, those seasons are over. Those seasons that have been holding you back physically, spiritually, and emotionally hostage, those days, those nights, and that season is over. Get up. Because this is the season where you will live. This is the season where you will no longer die. This is the season where you will take off that dead man mentality and take off those dead man clothes, and you will walk upon out of that tomb like Lazarus, and you will live. God says that enough is enough. You will no longer succumb to those injuries of infirmities and beg for provisions because you falsely believe that your crippling disposition keeps you out of worship, keep you out of engaging in positive circles. God says too many of you, because the negativity has polluted your spirit. It has polluted your environment that you don't even understand how stinking you reek right now. You remain in this crippling disposition. And God is saying that enough is enough, and it's time that you seek liberation. So I need for somebody on the line tonight to understand that God will meet you where you are, just like he showed up and sent somebody to meet this beggar at the gate. That's why God gave authority to Peter and John, his followers, to transform the mind and the body of the beggar who has sat all his life at the beautiful gate begging for money. Can you imagine all your life walking around disabled, all your life just sitting somewhere, all your life not even understanding the power in your tongue, all your life not understanding that there is death and life lies in the power of your mouth? You don't even understand that if you speak and decree and declare something over your life, that God will move. You don't even understand the power of faith activation. God is saying, listen, I need for somebody on this line tonight to activate their faith and realize that I'm taking you from out of this dead season. I'm taking you from out of this crippling position, and I am rising you up so you can get up and walk. And walk into your promises. Walk into the promises that I've spoken over your life. Walk into the promises that I have said, listen, this belongs to you. Some of you, you're not ready. And God is saying, you got to get ready. Verse 2, according to the New Living Translation, says, each day he was put beside the temple gate. I need somebody to hear that. Each day he was put. That means somebody or some people carried this man and placed him there. Who's carrying you? So I ask you, who's carrying you every day and placing you at the gate and supporting your crippling afflictions? What friends, what family members do you allow to come in and co-sign your negative talk, co-sign your negative disposition, co-sign your deformity, co-sign your injury? Affliction is defined but limited to grief. I need somebody to hear this. Affliction is defined, and I've been teaching this now for several weeks. Affliction is defined but not limited to grief, hardship, depression, distress, misery, misfortune, torment, or trial. See, these are some of the injuries that some of you are walking around with. These are some of the afflictions, the infirmities that some of you are harboring and allowing people to come into your life and co-sign and say, yeah, girl, well, you just got to wait. No, you better pray your way out. You better activate your faith and tell God, listen, God, I need for you to move suddenly. I need for you to move right now. I need for you to clear up some things in my life right now before you sit there at the gate of beauty and sit there just like the crippled man and wait for years to be set free. God says that this is the season. This is the hour. This is the day for liberation. Verses 4 through 6, New Living Translation recounts. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. He said, listen, I'm not about to co-sign this foolishness like these other people walking by and just putting money in your little bowl or tin can. I don't know what he had. But he says, listen, I'm not about to co-sign this. But what I will do for you is give you what the Father has given me. And what the Father has given me is the authority. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to on this line tonight, but you have the authority to speak life. You have the authority to decree and declare something up over your life. See, y'all play. Y'all play too much. And I say that all the time. God is saying that this is a season. Instead of running here and there to every church, running to every prophet and prophetess, running to wherever you run into, God says, cut it out, because he has given you the authority to speak up over your life, to activate your faith, and to cause these crippling injuries, to cause these crippling infirmities, cause these crippling afflictions to move. But instead, God told me this, and he spoke to my spirit. And he says, Leslie, I'm telling you that this is the season where I need my people to listen to this message carefully and activate their faith. And he says, because I need for you to prophesy over them tonight with authority that their season of begging is over. See, somebody better let that thing hit their spirit, that your season of begging is over. You better touch your womb and tell God to fertilize it with these words, that your season of begging is over. You will no longer beg for provisions that will continuously enable your foolishness, that will continuously disable you from getting up and walking and moving and being free, that will disable you from taking care of your family, disable you from working an active job. Now you have to sit out there and beg people to take care of you. God says that season of infirmity is over. He's saying, I'm loosing that spirit of infirmity from up off of your life. Instead, he says, I prophesy to your dry bones. And he told me to prophesy over your dry bones according to his authority found in Ezekiel 37, verses 4 through 6. And the word says, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the living God. I don't know who I'm prophesying those words to, but God is saying, listen, you will no longer function in the dry valley. Your dry season is over. 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 You will no longer sit daily at the beautiful gate waiting for worshipers and onlookers to pass by to give you provisions, meaning to cater. And this is so funny. When I looked up the word provision in the dictionary, provisions mean to cater. So people have been catering to your foolishness, equipping you with nonsense, allowing you to believe that this season of your life is a good thing, allowing you to believe that whatever you're going through, that's where you should stay. You know, you have some people like that in your life, be it family members or friends. They're furnishing and providing and supplying you with more negativity instead of helping you to speak a word up over your life. God says your crippling season is over. Your crippling injuries, that's over. Your crippling afflictions, it's done with. God says your crippling behavior, is over. He's canceling out that stuff. You just got to believe. You just got to activate your faith. That season is over. Peter says to the lame man in verse 6, and I'm coming from the New Living Translation, I'll give you what I have. He says, listen, I'm going to give you what I have. And what I have is the authority. Peter says, I have the authority granted by God to change your life, to change the course of your life, to change the makeup of your body, to change your entire life. So you don't have to believe that this is all God has for you. He says it boldly in verse 6 when he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So this authority gave the apostle the power to perform this supernatural miracle through the Holy Spirit. And God says, see, some of you are merely just, once again, seeking just a little. You got some of you on the line tonight? The Holy Spirit said, Leslie, get ready, because, see, some people on the line tonight, they're only seeking just a little. They're not believing God for much. They're placing limitations on God. He says, there are some of you who are only seeking God for a quick fix. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're only seeking God for a quick fix. Or just enough provisions to rectify the need for today. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, the people who only believe in God just for the little, or just believing God for the quick fix, or just believing God just for just enough provision, just God, just for today. But God says, I want to give you a long-term solution to your injury, just like he gave the crippled man at the beautiful gate. God is saying to his people in this hour, I'm no longer going to sit back and allow certain co-signers and onlookers to support your crippling spirit of affliction. I got to repeat that, because, see, I need that to really seep into somebody's spirit. God says, this is the last day that I'm going to allow some of you to have a co-signer and an onlookers supporting your crippling injury, supporting your crippling spirit of affliction. Instead, I'm sending someone like a Peter and John with the authority to cross your path, who can speak into your life, who can speak a word of activation, who can speak a supernatural word of manifestation and loose you from those spirits that have kept you bound for many years, that have kept you bound for many months, that have kept you bound for many seasons. God says so many of you on the line tonight have been functioning up underneath a generational curse. And God says, listen, this is the season. This is the hour when he's breaking this dysfunction in your family. He's breaking the curse, the pattern of this generational curse that have had you bound for years. He's destroying the yoke, not breaking the yoke, but he's destroying the yoke that has been placed up over your life, that has caused you to be crippled in the spirit and in the physical realm, my Lord. And God says, and when I loose you, my son and daughter, when I loose you from this crippling affliction, don't forget to give me your father. Give me the ultimate healer, the priest. Because, see, some of you, God say, you get your blessing and you run and you're only thinking for just that little brief moment, and then you forget who has delivered you out of your situation, out of your crippling situation. And through faith and the authority of my voice, God says, your transformation will not take weeks. It will not take months. It will not take years. God says, in verse 7, the word says, the man's feet and ankles were instantly, do y'all hear that word? Instantly healed and strengthened. That right there, that one word instantly told me that it took place right then and there. It was a sudden deliverance. Some of you are thinking that it's going to take years to bring you out of your situation. And God says, not so. He says, this is going to be instant. I'm going to bring you out. So that tells me that God is not only sending healing to your body and mind, but he's also given you the strength to walk forth in the promises spoken over your life according to Jeremiah 29 and 11. And the word says, for I know the plans that I have for you, my son and my daughter, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God says, listen, I'm not in the harming business. I'm in the prospering business. I'm in the healing business. I'm in the restoration business. I'm in the hope business. I'm in the faith business. I am in the future building business. business, not the tear down, not the destruction, not the lame, not the crippling business. So in other words, God says, when I release you from your past, see, God is getting ready to bring you up on out of your past. See, when this man was healed, that was God saying, listen, I have loosed you from your past. Now I'm allowing you to look at your future, because now you can get up, you can stand up. You're not crippled. Your legs are not causing you any type of dilapidation. Your legs will not allow you not to move forward anymore. You can move forward. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, oh, okay, now I'm ready. Now I can take you home. No, God is saying, listen, you can get up anytime you want to, because I have liberated you. This is your freedom day. This is your freedom day. And you're going to be able to walk without constraints. No longer will shackles be placed around your hands and your neck and your waist and your ankles. Those shackles are being broken. For verse 8 says, he, meaning the crippled man, jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This man was excited. And when I read that verse, the crippled man's reaction, that the crippled man's actions of excitement told a story. It painted a vivid image. And what I saw is that I saw the word instantly pop up again. And I immediately thought, man, that man forgot about. He was crippled just seconds ago. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't even stand. He needed people to carry him to the beautiful gate. So I say this, just think about it. Some people, it would have taken a couple of minutes for them to collect their thoughts, for them to gather themselves, for them to muster the strength, to believe that, oh, no, I'm healed. I was instantaneously healed. You know how when some people have been in an accident and the doctor comes into the room and he says, okay, I want you to take your time and get up on out the bed. And as a matter of fact, we're going to place somebody on both sides of you just in case you need help. This man didn't even need any assistance. He just leaped up and he got up. He jumped up. He stood up and he began to walk. He let go of his past. He didn't even remember his past. And that's what God is saying to somebody on the line tonight, that I want you to forget about your past when I free you. Don't allow your past to seep back in and cripple you again. So as I get ready to close, I want you to remember this key point. When you activate your faith, get in position to receive your transformation in mind, body, and spirit. And this right here just blew me away. Those same onlookers, those same spectators, those same passerbyers, those same worshipers who were on their way to the temple, who helped to enable this crippling man's spirit, they had to witness his recovery. See, I need somebody to catch that in the atmosphere. You know, those same onlookers, those same worshipers, those same spectators who enabled you, God says, listen, when I heal you, when I transform you, mind, body, and spirit, I'm going to allow those same people to be a witness to your holistic and your spiritual transformation. And how do I know this to be a fact? Because verses 9 through 11 confirms this when it says, they recognized him, they, plural, they recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate beautiful and rubbed their eyes. When they rubbed their eyes, that meant that, guess what, they couldn't even believe it. They couldn't believe it. They could not believe it. They were astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. The man threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. All the people ran up to where they were at Solomon's porch to see it for themselves. So God is saying, listen, when I bless you, when I loose you from your past, I'm going to allow those same onlookers, those same worshipers, those same people who wanted to pacify your behavior and keep you in your crippling position, I'm going to allow those same people to see you when I rise you up. They're going to see you walking into your promise. See, somebody better catch that in the atmosphere. Those same people who enabled your crippling behavior, those same people are going to have to watch you get up and walk into your future. So you must understand that when God loosed you from a crippling affliction, he's showing you compassion. God is a good God. God is a merciful God. He's showing you grace. And through your supernatural healing and transformation, God will use your newness. He will use your transformation as a powerful message to transform the lives of others. See, some of y'all missed the point. And the point is, guess what? Use your mess. Just like Dr. Raquel Stewart read earlier from my bio, I use my mess and I've turned my mess into a powerful brand message. God is saying, that's why I had to take you, daughter, through being a teenage mother so people could talk about you. That's why I had to take you through a marriage that was turbulent so I could bring you home and strip you and cause you to focus and regroup. That's why I had to lay you out wide in a crippling position. Why? So when I rise you up, you'll be able to go out and minister my word effectively from a raw place and not just regurgitating content. God is saying, I want somebody on this line to know that even if you are a drug addict, even if you have been abused physically and sexually, God says, listen, I'm going to use your story, baby girl. I'm going to use your story. If there's a man on the line who's gone through the same thing, I want to use your story. You're going to be a witness for me. You're going to walk out and testify. And all those people who pacified your negative energy, all those people who pacified your infirmity and your affliction, God says those same people are going to have to be a witness when I bring you out. Those same people are going to have to watch you as you walk out from your past. Those same people are going to have to watch you as you walk into your promise. Somebody better give God some praise right now for your transformation. I don't care where you at. You could be at the hospital. You can be at home, sitting in your couch, sitting in your chair, sitting on your couch. I don't care if you're in your car driving, listening as you're driving home or driving to work. You better give God some praise. I don't care who is in your house looking at you. Somebody better give God some praise for your transformation. Somebody better give God some praise for loosing you from your spirit of bondage. Because God is saying, listen, you've been set free, and set free indeed. You have been set free. Somebody better decree and declare that over their lives right now, that I have been set free, and I am free indeed. This is the season and the hour. If you believe by faith that your season of begging is over, I need somebody to prophesy that to themselves. My season of begging is over. You need to decree right now and activate the heavenly realms in order for your healing to manifest itself. And I need for you to open up your mouth and declare up over your life, declare up over your children's life, declare up over your ministry, declare up over your husband, declare up over whoever, and declare right now and let it be known that your season of affliction, your season of infirmity, your season of begging is over. I hope somebody caught that word in the atmosphere, because I'm done. And God has said, listen, this is the season. This is the hour where supernatural manifestations are taking place in the heavenly realms. And I need for somebody to know that your season of begging, it's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. Decree and declare that thing up over your life. That is over. It is over. You better throw your hands up in the air and tell God, God, I believe with everything in me that this season of my life is over. This crippling season, it's over. I am forgetting about my past and I'm walking into my new, because my season of begging is over. Doc, I'm handing the mic back over to you.
Wow. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for that word. I will share quickly what I got, and then I want to open, in the little time that we have, I want to open the phone line. So for me, it just, what I got is God is serious about us activating our faith. And playtime is over. And I love when you said, when you activate your faith, get in position to receive. Because we cannot activate it, but we got to get in position to receive what God is giving us. And I love that, because the one word that was a common thread for me was the word acceleration. And God is accelerating our blessings, but we need to activate our faith and we need to get in position. So those are two things that I heard and that I got out of this message. Activate your faith, get in position, because God is accelerating our blessings. And thank you so much for that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the time that we have left, I'm going to open up the phone lines if anyone has any questions. If you are on the call, press the number 1, and that'll indicate that you want to get on air and you want to talk to Dr. Brown.
And please, please, please be mindful when you are on air. We have limited time, and there are people who want to speak to Dr. Brown, so please don't monopolize all the time. I am the timekeeper, I guess. But, Dr. Brown, that was a powerful word, and it's so good to know that once that beggar stood up, that he forgot everything. He just started partying, and he's ready to roll out and didn't give it a second thought about what he was just experiencing seconds ago.
That's right, because so many of us.
Because, yes, we don't, we be holding on, talking about, I forget, I moved on, and he's still holding. That man jumped up, and the dude ain't walking.
That's right, he didn't waste a second.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He got to getting it. We really need to take a page out of his book. I hope you guys really listen to what Doc was saying. I know she was telling y'all catch it in the atmosphere. Y'all better catch it. Otherwise, guess what? You don't catch it, what happened? You get left. Y'all better activate your faith. Dr. Brown talks about that all the time, all the time. You know, and sometimes we take it as a joke, and it's like, yeah, okay, uh-huh, whatever. Yeah, you better stop that whatever, because your season is over. It's time for you to activate your faith and get in position to receive. So if you do want to get on the phone and talk to Dr. Brown, ask her a question. As I said, if you're on the call, hit the number one. That'll indicate that you want to have a conversation with Dr. Brown. If you are listening via Skype, computer, however else, the number, call-in number is 347-855-8229. Don't sit there and debate whether you should get on here because people are going to judge me. We ain't got that kind of time for you to be doing that. We need to know if you want to talk to Dr. Brown that you are going to take a step of faith and be bold and get on the air and talk to us. Nobody here is judging you. We just don't have that kind of time. We all here trying to activate our faith and get in position to receive and let go of our past right away. Dr. Brown, as always, that was just an amazing, amazing word. And I guess the folks are sitting down just soaking in what you said. Let me tell you, it is amazing. And I've been hearing that word acceleration from the beginning of this year. A lot of, you know, different pastors that I listen to, and when they give you the scripture and you're reading and you're studying the Bible, it's about acceleration. And whatever it is that you want to do, do it this year. And one of the main things that, for me, that I've been working on is definitely trusting God and getting out of my own way, you know, because I get into my way a lot. You and I were just talking about this, and you even told me you need to kind of step back for a minute, and I did that. And it's just, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing that we want to be in the driver's seat. We still want God to help us, but any drivers out there, how many people can fit in a driver's seat? In mine, it's just one. Just one person can fit. So if you're driving, God can't drive. So sometimes we need to move over. Most of the time, all the time, we need to move over, sit in that passenger seat, and let God take control, because we've done it enough and we've messed it up. So let somebody who knows what they're doing take the wheel. And if you're trusting him, that's exactly what you have to do. But Dr. Brown, I just, that was good. I took a lot of notes, and I love it. I love the fact when you discuss those people that are there saying, yeah, girl, and they validating and they vouching for your foolishness. You need to know that it's foolishness.
Yeah.
And you need to get away from those folks. And those folks want you to stay down there because they want company. They don't want to see you move ahead and accelerate.
That's right. Or they don't care. Because remember, those people just placed some coins, silver and gold coins, in that little tin bucket or bowl or whatever that man had. And they kept what? Walking.
They kept it moving.
That's right. So they enabled him. They crippled him. They kept, you know, every coin that was placed inside that bowl or tin can or whatever he had, that allowed him, that fed that crippling spirit to say, oh, okay, well, I made, let's say, for instance, 50 cents today. Well, I'm coming back tomorrow. Let me see if I can make a dollar. And we have people like that just in the body of Christ. Oh, well, I need somebody to pacify my negative behavior. I need somebody to speak to that hurt. Because as long as they're pacifying and say, girl, girl, don't worry about it. And all the while, they should be saying, girl, the devil is a lie. Get up, We're going to pray right now against that spirit of hurt. We're going to pray right now against that spirit of abuse. We're going to pray right now about that spirit, over that spirit of confusion and worryation and stress. And you're going to get up on out of this mess.
I love it. I love the fact that even the beggar understood the power of position. Like, he knew where he needed to be in order to get those coins.
That's right.
Like, it sounds crazy. When I say it, I hear what I'm saying. But when you really think about it, like, how smart was he? He just knew. I mean, that blew my mind when you said it. And, you know, you read that scripture and you read it and you read it and you read it over and over and over. Man, but Revelation.
And he was there early, too. Not only did he know the position, but he knew. Listen, I need to be there early.
And if a beggar can understand and know that, I'm not even going to finish that statement. Y'all go ahead. I think Dr. Brown beat y'all up, and that's okay. Y'all need it. We all do at some point. We need somebody to tell us the truth and stop validating and vouching for our foolishness. And that's what it comes down to. So, Dr. Brown, while everybody is marinating on what you said and letting it sink in and nobody wants to get on and say anything, we're going to close this out, but I want you to close it out in prayer. I do want to thank everyone for being on the line. Again, in the last couple of seconds we've got left, if you want to jump on and say something, number 347-855-8229. Hit the number 1, and that'll indicate to us that you want to get on air and chop it up. Talk to Dr. Brown, lay it on the line, whatever it is that you want to do, okay? But that. Awesome word. You always bring it. You really do.
Thank you.
And I'm just, wait, hold on, Doc. I think we've got somebody here on the line, a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to Bear It All.
Hey, Dr. Rock. Hey, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Hello. Hello. Fine, and you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I just want to say thank you. We had a conversation a couple of months ago, one-on-one coaching, and everything you said then and you're repeating now, I mean, I implemented it, you know, that beggar mentality. So I just want to thank you for telling me that a few months ago and me implementing that and seeing, you know, the changes. You know, people don't understand, like Dr. Rock said earlier in the show, when people are talking to you with the prophetic word and we don't listen, you know, we only have ourselves to blame. But I just wanted to come on and say thank you, because I know I'm marinating on a lot of things that you said tonight, you know, but confirmation from a couple of months ago and again tonight, let go of that mentality. That's all I wanted to say. I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on the line.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you for that.
So do we have any other questions?
Yeah, get on there. But I want to say to that caller, but more importantly than thanking Dr. Brown, thank you for hearing, believing, and trusting the word that God is sending through Dr. Brown and implementing and activating it. If anybody else wants to get on the line, I suggest you hit the number 1. Do so now, because we're about to close this out in prayer. And Dr. Brown, once again, thank you so much for being here. You guys have like 5 seconds to hit the number 1 if you want to chat with Dr. Brown. Going once, going twice. Dr. Brown, can you send us off in prayer?
Yes, okay, everybody, let's bow our head in corporate prayer. I'm losing my voice. Okay, Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just give you the honor and the praise, God. We thank you, God, for allowing, Father God, each and every one of us to meet on the line tonight in order to hear this timely word. God, we believe, Father God, that the blood still has power. And God, we believe that this word will change our lives. We believe, Father God, in the power of the supernatural. We believe, Father God, that you are loosing, Father God. You are destroying these yokes. You are destroying the bondage, Father God, that has been placed up over our lives, Father God. We will not, Father God, live up underneath, Father God, the yoke, Father God, of worryation and frustration and stress, Father God. The lies that the enemy has told us, Father God, in an attempt to abort the future, Father God, that you and and the promises, God, that you have spoken up over our lives, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for being a sovereign God. We thank you, God, for being being an on-time God. We thank you, God, for being a God who's a healer and a restorer, God. We thank you, God, that you saw enough, Father God, to show up and saturate the atmosphere tonight, Father God, and heal us, Father God, and bring us upon out of our crippling position, God. We thank you, Father God, that season is over. May your spirit rest heavily upon your people tonight. And everybody who hear this word, God, they will allow their faith to be activated and taken to a whole nother level so that they can see the transformation in their mind, body, and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you, listeners. Thank you so much. And always remember, your choices determine your destiny. Have a great night, and God bless.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.